Hello, good morning to all, and welcome to Macisa's 2009 financial results earnings conference call. Just before we begin the conference call, I would like to remind that the presentation that we will be reviewing today is available at our website, so if you want to download it now or later. Today's conference call will be hosted by Macisa's CFO, Mr. Eugenio Arteaga, who will disclose the 2009 financial results. Later after the conference, we'll be holding a Q&A session for any questions that you may have.
Good morning. Today's presentation is divided in four sections. First section is a description of the most important events of the fourth quarter of 2009 and also for the year, including some reference to recent events that has happened during the first quarter in 2010. The second section covers market evolution and trends that we are observing in different geographies. Third section is going to be an update on the execution of our business strategy. And fourth is going to cover financial results for the year 2009 compared to 2008. On the first section, on important events, the first comment I'd like to give is Macisa, for the first time at the end of 2009, is presenting its financial statements according to the International Financial Rules, IFRS. And subsequently, Macisa is comparing its financial results for 2009 with 2008, figures that are also restated and recalculated to present figures according to the international norms. On the fourth quarter, the most important communication points are regarding the sales growth. In the fourth quarter, sales reached $254 million, which represents a 7% increase respect to the third quarter of the year, an 8% increase respect to the fourth quarter of the prior year, 2008. In that regard, Particle Board and MDP, jointly with NDF, sales reached $186 million, 8% above the prior quarter and 23% in comparison to the fourth quarter of 2008. Solox sales reached $22 million, also an important increase compared to the third quarter of the year, and most importantly, a 42% increase compared to the fourth quarter of 2008. Regarding volumes sold in the market, the wood boards reached 425,000 cubic meters, a 5% increase on the prior quarter, and 16% compared to the fourth quarter of 2008. The trend in the year presented a 4% compounded quarterly growth, which presents a steady, strong recuperation from the crisis presented in the different quarters in 2009, which is evidencing a strong internal demand recovery in the different markets where we operate, and the start of operations of our new MDP plant in Brazil, located in Montenegro, which is presently running at approximately 50% full capacity, producing approximately 30,000 cubic meters of wood boards per month. Second important element for the quarter is the start of construction of a new MDP line in Chile, in Cabrero, in the south, 500 kilometers south of Santiago, which received approval from the Regional Environmental Authority in Chile, the CODEMA. to build this project, which is a 280,000 cubic meter new MDPE line, which consists in the reconversion of an existing MDF line, which is currently not in operations, which has a capacity of 160,000 cubic meters in that industrial complex. The equipments have been ordered from the suppliers. They've been awarded and assigned, and they're being shipped as we speak. For this project in particular, we are looking to obtain financing from Hermes, the ECA from Germany, where the supplier of the equipment is located. And it's scheduled to start operations in the third quarter of 2011. The third element to highlight in the quarter is the announcement of a private bidding process for the sale of standing timber in Chile. This is composed of 4,500 hectares of planted territory in the south of Chile. It consists and contains mature pine, radiata pine, that is available for harvesting in the next 4 years, starting this year, 2010. The award date is scheduled to happen by the end of May or beginning of June of the year. And the use of proceeds of the sale will be destined to refinancing needs and also financing of the new MDP project just described in the prior point. Describing important events for the year 2009, now for the full year, sales reached in a consolidated basis 914 million, a 14% decrease in respect to 2008. In the industrial business unit, as we are presenting our financial statements now divided in two business segments. One is the industrial segment and the other is the forestry business segment. The industrial business unit reached $841 million of sales, a 13% decrease on 2008, while the forestry unit reached $116 million, a 7% decrease on 2008. On wood board volumes, we reached 1.5 million cubic meters, which is also a 13% decrease compared to 2008. The sales decrease the company experienced in 2009 were mainly due to the effects of, in the U.S., of the global crisis, and particularly the real estate and crisis in the United States, which meant an $87 million decrease in sales to that market, mostly of solid wood doors and MDF moldings, which were reduced by 68% compared on the prior year. On the side of wood boards, including particle board, MDP, and MDF, their sales went down by $54 million, a 7% decrease on 2008. And thirdly, due to lower sales of solidwood by $32 million, a 52% decrease, mainly as a result of reduced world trade and the effects on the pallet industry, which was the main use of our solidwood exports. Second factor on page 3 is the fact that consolidated EBITDA for Macisa reached $162 million, which represents a 10.6% reduction compared to 2008. Important to note is the fact that EBITDA margin improved from 17.1% in 2008 to 17.7% in 2009. As a result of significant measures and actions taken on the side of costs, cost efficiencies, plant reduction in certain areas that were less efficient, and also significant reductions of SG&A as a result. result of restructuring and severe cutting on third-party expenditures. The industrial business unit reached an EBITDA of $118 million, which represents a 14% decrease compared to 2008. The forestry business unit, on the other hand, reached a $44 million EBITDA, which represents a stable level of activity and profitability compared to 2008, representing the nature of the wood and the forestry business, that it's more stable, provides reliable cash flow generation and stability across economical cycles. Third point is net income reached $40 million approximately, which is mainly due to the forestry asset growth as a result of the application of the implementation of the new norms, the international standards, which we're going to describe later in this presentation. Secondly, because of lower financial expenses as a result of the financial strengthening plan, and particularly the elimination and refinancing of Bolivar's denominated debt in Venezuela with corporate debt at more convenient terms. And thirdly, by more favorable exchange rate differences and income taxes differences that were favorable in 2009 compared to 2008. Moving on to the fourth page of the presentation, subsequent events that occurred past December 31st, 2009, but are important to mention and discuss in this presentation are the fact that early in January, in Venezuela, the Venezuelan government announced a strong devaluation of its currency from 2.15 bolivares per dollar to 4.3 bolivares per dollar, also announcing the a preferential exchange rate of 2.6 bolivares per dollar for certain products that are specified by the government. Those include urea and methanol, important raw materials for the production of our resins used in the manufacturing process of our boards. The impact, the immediate impact of the Venezuelan devaluation on Maciza is an impact on assets, liabilities, and net worth, which will carry on an impact on Maciza's equity, not in results that will be booked in the first quarter of 2010. This impact is not material, though, and will not affect the income statement. It's going to be an adjustment in the net worth of the company. The second effect will be on lower operating cash flow throughout 2010 and onwards, which is going to be reflected by the new exchange rate on which we're going to be reporting our financial statements, that is 4.3 bolivares per dollar, and that is expected to be compensated by in first-hand, a lower level of investments in terms of capital expenditures, both maintenance and some limited growth, and also in working capital, and also in income taxes that are going to be paid in Venezuela. And secondly, in expected higher access to official dollars at the official exchange rate of 4.3 bolivars per dollar for payments of external suppliers and even potentially to distribute dividends or repay debt. Second item to be discussed that is also subsequent to the closing of the year was the heavy earthquake that hit Chile on February the 27th. We recently communicated to the market that because of the actions taken by the company, we have been able already to reestablish to 100% of our production level that Maciza had prior to the earthquake. Although not in the same precise production lines, we today have the same production capacity in terms of output that is expected to be produced as we had prior to the earthquake. meaning that the effects of the earthquake in Masisa, in general, were not significant. There's, of course, expected a positive impact on local sales as a result of the earthquake associated with the reconstruction that's going to take place in Chile. We are already seeing some signs of recovery in the Sunwood business unit and picking up gradually on the side of the wood board sales. That's expected to benefit and compensate for the effects of the lost production in March through the additional volumes that will be marketed in the market and also some price effect. Masisa has insurance coverage for its industrial assets, also has business interruption coverage, and our inventories of finished woods are also protected against the effects of the earthquake. With deductibles that are on a market basis. We are in permanent contact with the insurance companies and the people are involved in providing information, necessary information for the insurance claims to be put in time. The third element is that on March 20th, a significant fire was detected in Venezuela, affecting a surface of just below 12,000 hectares in Venezuela. The estimated financial effect of this fire, for which Masisa doesn't have insurance coverage, is $1.3 million of forestry that will have to be written down in a net basis. Considering the recovery of some wood that will be standing and will be utilized for the production processes despite the effects of the fire. The fire had no effect on the continuity of operations of our industrial plants in Venezuela. Although the surface that was affected may seem relevant, it is important to note that Venezuelan forests are of a very different size, and the density of wood that exists in a particular hectare of land is much reduced to that compared to what we could find in Brazil, Argentina, or Chile. Moving on to the second section of the presentation on a market evolution, as in prior quarters we're presenting some of the key indexes we follow as lead indicators of the demand of wood boards in the region. Starting with Argentina, we've seen internal demand recovery. Argentina, although currently living some political distress, is economically performing very well with strong demand in the construction sector, remodeling sectors, and as a result of which we're expecting a stable market for the year. Argentina has been able to address its financing needs as a country with different measures that they've taken, as a result of which we're reasonably optimistic on the short term. It's impossible to predict what may happen on a longer term basis. On Brazil, government plans were very successful in offsetting the effects of a global crisis for Brazil. Demand has recovered very promptly and strongly. We're expecting double-digit growth in demand of wood boards in Brazil, which is rapidly absorbing new capacity that was put in place by different operators, different competitors in the market, as a result of which we're perceiving a very favorable outlook in the market in Brazil. Although sales were affected in 2009 regarding 2008 very significantly, it was mostly on pricing, not on volumes. The pricing effect were down in average terms by 20% approximately, meaning that in volume terms we were able to put and place all the capacity in the market. Moving on to the sixth page on Chile, the board market in Chile is expected to recover from 2009 level. We expect higher sales volume with positive effect of the recovery after the earthquake because of the rebuilding efforts in a vast area of our geography, as a result of which we're expecting good effects in terms of volumes and also price. Sales in 2009 were down by 27%, very significantly, meaning that Chile was significantly affected by the crisis. Venezuela is being affected by a domestic downturn in its demand. We're expecting some decrease in sales in terms of volumes that will be probably compensated by the effects of the high inflation that persists in Venezuela, although its pressure is reducing a bit to levels of 20-25% from original estimations of 30% for this year or more as a result of the devaluation. However, we're not particularly optimistic on Venezuela recovering. We're expecting that it's going to have a flat to negative, slightly negative year in terms of demand. Moving on to the following page, on a little more detail on the earthquake, our plants, many of our plants are located in an area that's recently nearby the area of the epicenter in Copquecura, that is approximately 130 kilometers north of Concepción, affecting our industrial complexes in Mapal, in the area of Coronel, near Concepción, also Chiguayante, near Concepción, Chillán, and Cabrero. The only other industrial complex is in Valdivia, which is less affected than this one that I'm mentioning. However, we are proud to communicate and confirm that our production levels have been recovered fully, 100% basis, at the start of April, and all of our plants are already back in production, including those in Mapal, near Coronel, Chiguayante, Cabrero, and Chillán. No plant was affected by the tsunami, and we are estimating at this time that the positive effects associated with the reconstruction in Chile will more than offset the effects of the lost production in the month of March. Moving on to the third section, an update on the execution of the strategy. We've used the scheme presented in page 10 in the last few quarters. First, on the dimension of securing profitable clients, in 2009 we were able to provide training to carpenters associated to our Placa Centro network for more than 7,600 carpenters. We're also able to streamline and improve our Placa Centro spaces, as shown in the table there. On December 2009, we reached a number of Placa Centros, which was 314 in total, but at the same time we were able to increase the higher margin product sales of melaminated boards, and including design melamine boards, which are not single uniform color, but they have other types of design, which are more sophisticated, value-added melamines that provide additional margin opportunity for Massisa. On the second element of this scheme, regarding maximizing efficiency, the highlights for the quarter at the start of the civil construction works of our new MTB plant in Caldero, and the orders for the equipment that were put in place by the end of the year. Second is the production level of our MTP plant in Brazil, which has reached approximately 50%, and it's gradually increasing to levels that are expected to reach full production by the end of 2011. Regarding our meeting commitments with our clients in terms of efficiency in providing good response in terms of full-time, full and in-time deliveries to our clients, we reached 93% in 2009, an 8% increase or improvement on the prior year. Also, regarding efficiency, Macisa was able to achieve a 10% decrease in selling, general, and administrative expenses, a $17 million decrease. This is despite unfavorable exchange rate movements, which generally appreciated against the dollar. In terms of average prices in the markets, we were able to increase our average pricing by 6.2% in 2009. While maintaining costs under control, indeed, we were able to reach a 2% decrease in average cost for wood boards. The third element of our strategy is on innovation. And we've launched a number of new products into the market. The focus of this innovation has been on launching of new products with new features and characteristics to the market that provide for additional margin opportunity. Those include new antibacterial melamine, that's called BioCoat, in the markets in Brazil and Chile. The start of operations in Brazil of our new MTB plant in Montenegro, which has been positioned as a much better, higher quality product that's similar to the particle board, but it has much better image and characteristics for being used for furniture manufacturing. The launch of new designs and textures that were launched in the first semester of 2009, different melamines that were launched in all the geographies, and also new touch and native melamines together with hydro resistant, those are humidity resistant boards that are used for more humidity areas in the houses. And the fourth element of our business strategy is leveraging the forestry assets, trying to maximize synergies between these forestry assets and the industrial assets. In that area, we were able to announce a joint investment agreement with Hancock Timber, one of the largest TIMOs in the world, for developing greenfield in forestry investments in Brazil, where our first goal is to reach 40,000 hectares of planted forest in the south of Brazil. Also, we were able to complete sale of standing timber in Chile in 2009, amounting to 370,000 cubic meters of wood in the market. And finally, in December, announced the private tender offer for approximately 4,500 hectares in the south of Chile of mature radiata pine that's going to be sold in, by the end of May or beginning of June to the market. And that's going to provide the funding for our MDP project in the south of Chile. The fourth section that covers financial results, we would like to start that with a brief description of our most important changes associated with the adoption of the IFRS norms. And that the most important effect is regarding the forestry accounting of the forestry assets. Regarding forestry assets, the first change is the valuation of a standing timber. The valuation of standing timber, according to Chilean GAAP, was depending on the maturity and the age profile of the wood of the forest. Those were being registered or valued at either reposition cost or commercial value. While according to IFRS, we value the forestry asset using the discounted cash flow methodology, using a discount rate. Although they provide similar values in generic format, the IFRS norms valuations are closer to market value of the forestry assets. On the growth aspect, according to Chilean GAAP, the growth was booked and recorded annually according to appraisals by third parties, and this is identical in IFRS. However, according to Chilean GAAP, those were being booked with effect in net equity, as opposed to IFRS, where we book the growth in income statement in the line other operating income. And that in IFRS is presented net of formation costs that are associated with all of the maintenance and development of the forestry. Those include tree pruning, protection, security, etc. Depletion is the same concept that's used to determine a proxy of cash flow generation by the forestry business. However, the depletion numbers, figures, according to IFRS, will be always higher to the depletion numbers presented according to Chilean GAAP, because the forestries are valued at fair value or discounted cash flow basis, which are generically higher than the sum of reposition cost plus commercial value that were being used according to Chilean GAAP. And therefore, depletion is going to be generically, or in almost all cases, a higher value to be added up back to determine cash flow generation. On the side of land, according to Chilean GAAP, land was booked and recorded at historical value, historical cost, while added IFRS, land is registered at fair value or revalued every 3 years using appraisal by third parties. And however, changes in the value of the land are booked against net equity, not against income or profit and loss statement in the year. As a result of all of these changes in the recognition and of the forestry assets, there was no significant change in the adoption of the IFRS in net terms for the forestry assets. However, there was a reclassification between land and standing timber. Land gained value when standing timber had to include the payment of a certain leasing or rental for the use of land, which represented a gradual decrease of its value. But overall, the forestry assets did not change in value to a significant extent. However, the most important effect is going to be on revenue recognition, on the timing of revenue recognition associated with these assets. IFRS will tend to anticipate revenue recognition associated with forestry assets in the sense that income will be registered according to the growth of the forestry assets during its preparation and growth process, the first 20 years in the case of pine, etc. While according to Chilean GAAP, most of the earnings were being booked at the time of harvesting. According to IFRS, at the time of harvesting, there will be marginal revenue recognition, margin recognition. Also in this page, although not written here, wanted to highlight two other events, two other changes associated with the adoption of IFRS. The first is associated with first-time adjustments or associated with the adoption of IFRS. In general terms, net worth was reduced by approximately $200 million as a result of impairment of fixed assets of older plants located in different geographies, including those in Chile and in Venezuela. Those were partial impairments associated with the cash flows that are expected to be originated in those older plants in those geographies. However, the approximately $200 million decrease that was booked in the opening balance and the end of 2008 balances, that same approximate increased amount of $200 million was booked in the year 2009 as a result of the growth of the forestry assets, the net growth of the forestry assets, and net income for the period, meaning that at the end of 2009, our net worth was approximately equivalent to the net worth that we were having according to Chilean GAAP in prior periods. And the third highlight point that we'd like to communicate here is there was also a reassessment and redefinition of the functional currencies used for the consolidation process of our affiliates outside Chile. Macisa presented financial statements in dollar basis, and also its operations in Chile, both forestry and industrial operations, used the dollar as its functional currency because of the denomination of its most important revenue sources and cost sources. However, all of our affiliates located elsewhere are using its respective domestic currencies as the functional currency for reporting basis. This is a change to the criteria being followed according to Chilean GAAP, and that will mean certain changes to foreign currency effects in the income statement every year. This is a result of not a decision, but an assessment of the reality of the economics of our business in the different countries. Now moving to page 13 on sales evolution, the graph in this page presents the steady increase that we were able to achieve in the year 2009, with 8% compounded growth on a quarterly basis throughout the year, quarter to quarter. Although 2009 in overall terms presented a over 13%, approximately 13.6% sales decrease on a consolidated basis compared to the year 2008. During the year 2009, we were observing and evidencing a steady, strong increase in our sales, trend that we expect will continue in 2010. This was partly as a result in the second semester of the year of the introduction of our MDP production in Brazil, which were able to produce a significant penetration in the market in that quarter. That helped particle board and MDP sales to grow by 14% on a compounded basis, while MDF was growing at 9% on a compounded basis. Sales compared to the third quarter grew by 7%, that is $16 million. The forestry business unit was producing stable and growing level of sales, also presenting, evidencing the recovery of the different markets, but more stable. And the industrial business unit was taking advantage of it, of the recovery of the different, of the demand of different geographies, but also the penetration of a new MDP from Brazil. On the following page, there's a description of a breakdown of sales by product, product family for Macisa. As presented in this table, in this graph here, almost all product families experienced sales reduction in 2009. Those include our wood boards, both particle boards, which presented a 10% decrease in dollar basis and 10% also in physical basis, and MDF 6% on a dollar basis and 14% in a physical or volume basis. Sunwood presented a more significant decrease of 32% due mainly to lower demand on the pallet production industry associated with lower world trade. On the side of MDF moldings and solid wood doors that are mainly or basically oriented to the U.S. market, those presented reductions of 45% and 36% respectively due to the effects of the crisis in the U.S. On the final family, other products we're presenting, families that Macisa is no longer producing or commercializing, such as finger joint moldings and OSB, which presented a total reduction of $39 million. Those were products that were not part of our core business and were also not performing to our standards. On page 15, there's a graph presenting EBITDA evolution comparing 2009 full year to 2008 full year, presenting a breakdown of the forestry and industrial business units, evidencing that the forestry business unit was able to maintain its level of EBITDA generation at a level of $44 million, quite stable despite the effects of the crisis in the different markets, showing that it has tools and measures and strategies to counterbalance the effects of a lower demand in the local market. While the industrial business unit evidenced some decrease in EBITDA generation from $137 million to $118 million with different behavior in the different markets. Important to note here is the increase in EBITDA margin. Despite the effects of the reduction of sales, Macisa was able to offset that and present an increased EBITDA margin level of 17.7% compared to the 17.1% of the prior year, as a result of measures such as the exiting of poor performing businesses, including finger joint molding, that were oriented basically to the U.S. market, the improvement in its operational efficiency on the basis of footprint optimization by shutting down less efficient, less competitive plants in different markets, and also taking advantage of implementing actions to reduce cost, production cost, and taking advantage of raw material reductions such as urea and ethanol for the production of resin. Third element is also the reduction of overhead and SG&A at all levels of the company as a result of strict alignment of the different efforts involving advisory, third services, logistical efficiencies, and also two restructurings, one that took place in 2008 and another that took place in 2009 in the headquarters of the company in Santiago, Chile. On the commercial side, Macisa focused significantly on strengthening customer loyalty and capturing profitable clients by strengthening its relationships and getting closer to our clients in the different segments and channels, and also improving product mix to protect and secure margin, avoiding margin erosion associated with the increased competition in the different markets. That was achieved, as discussed in the strategy section, by maximizing and increasing the mix of higher value melamine and design coatings for our boards in the different markets. Most notably, in Brazil, we've reached over 80% of our production is sold with different coating materials. On page 16, there's a result comparison between full year 2009 and full year 2008. It presents most important lines of the income statement of the company, again referring, evidencing 13.6% reduction in consolidated sales as a result mostly of the effects of the global crisis in U.S. demand of our products, solid wood doors and MDF moldings, meaning an $87 million fell in foreign sales to that market. Secondly, in wood boards in the different markets, a $54 million reduction, or a 7.3% reduction compared to the prior year. And finally, lower sawn wood sales amounting to $32 million in
on the prior year.
Operating margin was reduced, however, it offset partly the decrease in the sales associated as a result of cost reduction in the different plants, and also the exiting of four of low performing businesses such as the finger joint and OSB businesses. The third line presents the biological, net biological growth for the forestry asset, as presented in the description of IFRS norms. This presents the net of the growth of the forestry assets and the formation costs associated with maintaining and developing the forestry business. And that presents a significant increase from one year to the other as a result of favorable exchange rate effects that affected the forestry assets in Chile and Brazil, and also favorable and higher net growth in the different markets. SG&A was down by 10% as a result of the efforts that the company incurred, as a result of which our operating margins were protected from the sales reduction. On the non-operational front, the other sundry operational operating expenditures were negatively affected by, most importantly, the access to the informal exchange rate in Venezuela, that's called the Bermuda market, which affected the results by $30 million in 2009, which is a deterioration compared to the level presented in the prior year, which was marginal. In addition to that, the effects of temporary shutdowns of plants also is presented here in the other sundry operating expenditures, and that affected the 2009 results as well. On the financial expenses line, there's a significant improvement from $70 million to $49 million, mostly as a result of the refinancing of Bolivares denominated debt in Venezuela with corporate debt acquired at more competitive terms. That presented a significant reduction of 30% in financial expenses. On the side of exchange rate differences, there's a significant improvement associated with the changes in the behavior of the domestic, of the foreign exchange in the different countries in Latin America. In 2009, most of the currencies devalued significantly against the dollar, while in 2009, gradually those currencies tended to gain value and revalued against the dollar, presenting very different positions, effects in the company, with a favorable effect of approximately $64 million on the prior year. That is as a result of the positions in working capital and debt of the company in local currencies in the different operations. As a result of the above lines, which is not including all of the lines presented in our financial statements, but the most important ones that deserve some comment, the company was able to present a net income of $39.9 million, which represents a significant improvement compared to the 2008 figures of $1.8 million. As a result of the adjustments that are needed to be made to get to EBITDA levels of $162 million, which is a 10.6 million reduction compared to the $181 million of 2008. Notably, only a 10% reduction, while sales were reduced or down by 14%, which is evidencing and showing the determination of Macisa's management in cost-cutting and SG&A cutting efforts that were implemented in the year, which allowed significant compensation for at the level of EBITDA. Finally, on page 17, we're presenting debt amortization schedule or structure, showing that in 2010, Maciza has debt maturities amounting to $79 million, level which is lower than the cash balances that the company had at the close of the year 2009, leaving a very minimal and marginal liquidity risk on the short term for Maciza. On the side of 2011, there's more significant maturities falling in that year, amounting to $226 million. In Maciza, we're currently working and expect to be refinancing a significant portion of the overall maturities in 2010 and 2011 jointly, and are looking to refinance over $100 million in 2010 to reduce the refinancing risk of 2011. The main financial ratios, according to IFRS, as of the end of December 2009, are a net debt to EBITDA level of  3.6x, much below the levels that are required in the covenant structures of our credit and bond agreement of 4.5, and net financial expense coverage of 3.3x, above the one required by the financial covenants of our credit and bond agreements of 3.0, presenting a sound financial profile and a significant improvement on the figures that have been presented in prior quarters, although those were presented according to Chilean GAAP. This presents a sound financial profile, and in general terms, our financial plan for the year does not consider undertaking any additional debt. All of the financing needs for the capital expenditure plan will be covered with Maciza's own cash generation process, jointly with the standing timber sale that's expected to close at the latest in June of this year. That finalizes our presentation. Thank you very much.
We'll be having a brief Q&A session. If you may please state your name and where you're calling from, and we will take your questions. Thank you.
Hi, good morning. Hi, this is Luis Vallarino with Citi. Are you getting there?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, great. Thanks. Hi, Harold. How are you? I have several questions. What would be your initial estimate, your forecast for the resources that you expect to get from the standing wood sale in Chile? You already said that all of this would be applied to CapEx, the CapEx, but after this, how does your wood supply situation end up in Chile? Also, if you can give us some color on your wood supply situation in Brazil.
Okay. It's a delicate subject to share expected values on the standing wood sale process, because it's a bidding process where many parties are assessing the value of the standing wood. So it's very difficult to share expected range. But it's significant, and it allows the company to more than finance its own capital expenditure plan for the year, which is approximately $90 million for the year, including the investments in the forestry assets and also the investments in the MDP project in Chile, which is the most important industrial investment need that we have this year. On the supply, on the fiber supply overview or strategy, the conclusion MACISA reached after performing a very detailed evaluation in 2009 regarding long-term fiber needs associated with a plan to put all of our plants in Chile in full production in the long run, was that allowed us to conclude that MACISA had some excess fiber in the medium term, short to medium term basis, that we were able to, in a way, put to the market. Because even considering full capacity of all of our plants, including the new MDP project in Cabrero, we're able to satisfy all of our fiber needs. One comment here to remember is we do not necessarily, especially in Chile, use the logs that are that come out of our forest for the production of our wood boards. Most of our logs are sold to sawmilling processes that produce byproducts such as sawdust and wood chips that in turn are purchased from both third parties or our own sawmills to produce the wood boards. So taking into account that model of getting the fiber supply, we concluded that we had some excess fiber that could be put into the market to finance our investment needs in other projects. That's in the case of Chile. In the case of Brazil, we are undertaking a short-term, a medium, and long-term strategies which are different. In the short term, we're supplying our plants from the market mostly. In the case of Montenegro, the new plant is 100% from the market, spot market, some with short-term contracts for supply, and there's wide access to fiber at this time in Rio Grande do Sul. We're not seeing any difficulties in getting supply for our plant. In the medium term, though, we are considering to develop some managed or access to fiber through one, the association and the joint effort for investments in Brazil with Hancock for the development of, in the first stage, 40,000 hectares of planted forestry assets. Are also undertaking significant efforts for the development of small owners of land in association with government plans and subsidies for the development of those small entrepreneurs for development of the forestry assets that could provide fiber to us in the medium term, and have developed contingency plans to even bring fiber from Argentina if needed, because there's significant availability of fiber very close to the border of Argentina and Brazil, which have a good connection highways and also railway networks that could be used to transport fiber from Argentina. But that's a general description of our strategy for the Montenegro facility. In the case of our Ponta Grossa facility, the existing MDF plant, we approximately have 25% self-supply process from our 12,000 hectares of wood, mature wood assets in the region, and are securing contracts and other investments to get that to us more closer to a 50% goal in the medium term. In the short term, we're not perceiving any shortage of fiber because there's a significant development of forestry businesses in the region in Brazil. But are working in the medium term and long term to get more security and control over fiber access.
Great, thank you. And so we could expect to see some land or long term wood contract in Chile in the long term, not necessarily in the short term, but in the long term, once the new facilities are operating, then those needs are not covered.
No, the long-term supply contracts will be more seen in the case of Brazil. In the case of Chile, our own facilities, through this scheme of selling clear logs and other types of logs to the sawmills, either in our own sawmill and third-party sawmills, will produce sufficient fiber access to Macisa's plants in different regions, including Valdivia, Chillán, Cabrero, Coronel, in the long run. So we have sufficient land and forestry assets in Chile to secure long-term access to fiber, in the case of Chile. In the case of Brazil, we will be undertaking direct investments with in association with third parties, and also we'll be securing long-term supply contracts.
Great, thank you, Kenny. And if I could make another question, a completely different question. What is your view, your expectation on, in terms of prices, in local currency, of course, for the Brazil and the Chilean market for these years, what are you actually expecting on that?
In both markets where we have been seeing price increases, rather significant in the case of Brazil already. In the case of Brazil, MDF prices have gone up by 15 to 20% in the case of MDF already. Now, that is from a starting point, which was approximately 25% down from prior year in 2009. So that is an evidence of recovery of pricing in the case of Brazil for MDF, which in the short term is under some shortage of production in the case of MDF. The case of MDP, it started weeks ago an increased trend that is expected to also recover throughout the year, 20% increase approximately in overall terms, in average terms for the year. We're seeing a very positive dynamic in terms of growth and demand growth in Brazil, and industrial clients are undertaking investments, they're expanding capacity, and demand will continue to grow very significantly in Brazil. So we're expecting very good price dynamics. In the case of MDF, we're still expecting additional price increases in the range of 5 to 8%. In the case of Chile, the Chilean market has been recovering on a I would say lower pace at this time. It was affected by the earthquake, but the earthquake will certainly boost sales of certain products, particularly particle board, which is a cheaper product, and sawn logs for the domestic market as well. We expect that the price increases will be in the range of 15% in the case of Chile in overall terms for particle board particularly, and some maybe a little less, 10% in the case of MDF.
Great. Thank you so much, Eugenio.
If there are any more questions, we'll be closing the Macisa's Financial 2009 Results Conference Call. Okay.
Leaving conference.
Hello?
Can you go on, please?
Yes, please. Well, this concludes Macisa's 2009 Financial Results Conference Call. Thank you all very much for joining us today, and please, all the material reviewed today is available on our website. Feel free to download it, and if you have any further questions, please feel free to contact Macisa's IR investor relations team at our website and to our corporate offices. Thank you very much and have a nice day.
Joining conference. Leaving conference.
Ms. Ballerina.